بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver last Ramadan if you recall on the one Sunday afternoon after Dhuhr We had read from the kitab of our Shaykh Hazrat Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, where he had answered many questions of people who had experienced some spiritual maladies. And these are mashayikh of tasawwuf, that when a person requires some assistance in deen, he needs to know how he should overcome the different problems he is faced with. And when they write these questions and have these queries, and we see what response is given by the Ahlullah, these questions and answers, many of them have been compiled for our benefit. The book is printed is in English, also in Urdu. But there are many lessons that we learned. Remember last year, many people found it very, very interesting, because we have similar questions, but sometimes we are feeling embarrassed, feeling very difficult to ask these questions. And what happens as a result of that, we don't find a solution. And the person doesn't find the solution, then he finds himself more and more away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he wants to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to be remorseful. But he's looking for the way out. So we had mentioned quite a few last year, I think it was over two programs. Inshallah, today also we will discuss a few questions. We won't take very long because tonight also is the 27th night and inshallah all the masajid throughout will be very, very full. We will come early and it's another long night. We have to remain in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, the person writes his condition, he says, Hazrat, be kind to me. My past is extremely dark, frightening, terrifying and blotted. I have rubbed soot on my face with my own hands. That is, I have disgraced my own self. And this is not hidden from you. It is only through your kindness that this soot can be removed. Extend your hand of kindness, for I have none but you. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali replies to this person. This person is giving his condition that he is feeling very, very afraid because of his past. Now all those sins are now plaguing him and he feels so worried about his past. What must he do now? As he says, do not worry. The water of Allah's mercy washes away all stains. The water of Allah's mercy washes away all stains. And all the soot on your face is washed off. What can be said of the water of Allah Ta'ala's mercy? And then Hazrat wrote a poem, the meaning of which is, when the ocean of mercy And the ocean of mercy is agitated. An infidel of 100 years becomes the pride of the awliya. Yesterday the person was an infidel. The person was a big gunegar, a sinner. Could have been a disbeliever. And when Allah Ta'ala blesses him with hidayat, when Allah gives the person hidayat, then he reaches such a point when he has a connection with Allah Ta'ala and he maintains that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that then he becomes the pride of the awliya. Previously, the man never used to come to the masjid. Found it very difficult because he was living a life full of guna and sin. But the moment he made up his mind, he makes sincere tawbah. And now he frequents the masjid. And now he becomes more attached to the masjid. And he sits in the company of the ulama and the pious. Then you find that previously he was out of the masjid. Now he sits right in front. Now he begins to enjoy the ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person wrote, when I engage in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, I do not experience any joy most of the time. And this is very common. Person say, I make dhikr, but I'm not getting any kayfiyat, I'm not feeling any enjoyment as such. So this gives a beautiful answer. You see, dhikr is the object. Dhikr is the object. Not joy, no, an absence of joy. So whether you get kafiyat, don't get kafiyat, you're not sitting here to get some type of joy. Dhikr is the object. Not joy, no, an absence of joy. Therefore, a joyless person should not feel pity over his joylessness. And then the famous couplet with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali also, Rajmana should give. We saw a continuous joy, even in a state of joylessness. In whichever condition Allah keeps us, we consider that condition to be the most perfect. Whichever condition. Whether you're getting some enjoyment or not getting enjoyment, we have to ponder and reflect that we are making dhikr for who? Who is our maqsood? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to give us some type of himmat. Sometimes Allah ta'ala gives us some beautiful feeling. And that feeling, we can't explain. Last night somebody, late night, he SMS to say, he found something very different in the dhikr. So I said, that's because of the purity of your heart. So now you're connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could really feel different. So when a person is sincere, he washes away the sins of his heart. Now he wants to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, you will get some type of feeling. But don't sit with this maqsad that now I want to get on a spiritual high, on a feel so different. Sometimes that can be dhokha also. Sometimes a person then feels he's very pious. And what happens in every dhikr majlis, every time he sits in a dhikr, or he's making dhikr alone, he wants to enjoy that type of enjoyment. And when he doesn't get it, then he becomes perturbed. Therefore, don't sit with the intention of getting some type of kayfiyat. Sit because we are making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person writes, while I was repeating Allah Allah today, I was overcome by emotion and tears began flowing. After the dhikr, I made dua, O Allah, keep me far away from the avenues of sins. I immediately experienced tranquility. Sometimes this happens, a person makes dhikr and then he became emotional, but these are genuine tears that began flowing. And after the dhikr, he made dua, O Allah, keep me far away from the avenues of sins. So Hazrat wrote, this is a very blessed condition. It's a very blessed condition. One person writes, when I used to offer the Awabin Salah before Ramadan, my heart used to feel satisfied most of the time. After Maghrib Salah to make Awabin, so he said, I should feel very satisfied. However, in Ramadan, when I'm making Awabin, this ibadat has become like a routine worship, having no effect. The reply to that was, consider this routine to be a bounty as well. Consider this routine to be a bounty as well. That you are imitating the routine of the righteous and accepted servants of Allah Ta'ala. Through the grace of Allah Ta'ala, this routine will change to one of sincerity. So sometimes it happens that an ibadat becomes an adat, and then it just becomes routine. Now before Ramadan, because Awabin, we had given it very special focus and emphasis. Everybody is gone, people having supper, whatever, and you're still remaining in the masjid, and you are reading that Awabin. Now your focus is only on that particular salat. But in Ramadan we have so many other dini activities, you're fasting the whole day, and obviously now you want to curtail that Awabin because you want to have iftar, and you're going to come back for Taraweeh. So sometimes your mind and concentration is not full on that Awabin namaz. And therefore you will feel like this. But Hazrat does give such a beautiful answer, and he says that this Awabin namaz you are still reading, and although to you it is routine, but consider it to be a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody writes, my spiritual guide, my condition has become very bad for the past 4 days. This bad condition is becoming worse day by day. I just cannot control my heart and eyes from sins. The desire is strong and I'm losing courage also. I have become extremely weak in this conflict. I used to repent, but the repentance now breaks. Now I am not even inclined towards repentance. I perceive a burden in the fulfillment of compulsory duties. Previously, when my eyes fell on a young boy or a pretty girl, I would automatically lower my gaze. Now my gaze is either not going down, or if it does go down, my thoughts remain for a long time in that direction. The sin towards which I have an intense desire is so despicable that I'm ashamed to even mention it. There's probably no one who is so despicable and wicked on this entire earth. All I have now is your guidance and refuge. I cannot be saved without your support and attention. I'm thinking a lot about my past sins, and my heart is experiencing much delight in thinking of them. I've become so filthy that I'm not even worthy of touching the shoes of your pure and blessed feet. It is solely, this is love he's got for his Sheikh. It is solely through your kindness and affection that I have been bestowed with the conscience of informing you of my condition. If not, I would have remained a target of self-deception and become totally worthless. Before we give the jawab, now this is the importance of having a mentor, having a sheikh. So whatever your condition, at least you have some person who you can seek some guidance from. You don't have a mentor, you don't have a sheikh. And if this is your condition, I can promise you, it is only the fadl and karam and rahm of Allah Ta'ala Allah saves the person. And Allah uses mashayikh to help and guide the person. So the person doesn't have a mentor, doesn't have somebody who he can reveal his weaknesses and ask for some solution and remedy. Then his condition can become more and more severe. And he'll find himself away from the masajid, away from all dini programs. Quran he won't be reading, namaz he won't be reading. Now then he'll read. He'll be leading a life of ghaflat. He'll be deprived of the sukoon. But the moment the person connects with a sheikh, and his maqsad is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to change himself. He wants to make islah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him. Allah ta'ala makes ways for him. So Hazrat writes, this condition in suluk, that is a sudden intense desire to commit sins, to be overcome by this desire, and all past filthy thoughts to come back in the mind, is experienced by everyone. You should therefore not perceive any worry, no anxiety whatsoever. Even if you perceive it, consider it to be a source of reward and a source of progress in your rank, because this man was doing, he was obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all along. And suddenly, he became overwhelmed by this type of condition. So as I say, never consider this condition to be harmful to you, nor as a sign of rejection by Allah ta'ala. See, our mashayikh, they don't brand somebody and label him and throw him out, no. Our mashayikh, what do? They give you hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man is drunk, he'll try and bring the man back on to make him sober and carry on towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man was gambling, he'll take him out of the gambling den and bring him back onto the sirat al-mustaqim. The man committed zina and he lived a filthy life, going to prostitute dens. The mashayikh will now worry about him, they'll cry, they'll make dua. They will show him different types of ilaj and finally bring him back onto that right path. So they give hope. Take courage and resort to dua. In other words, you must have a lot of himmat. Offer 2 rakats of Salatul Hajah. And when you're in sajda, make an earnest dua for steadfastness, guidance and protection. I also make an earnest dua for you. See, these are the true mashayikh. They cry for the people, whether the person is murid or no murid, if somebody's got a problem, especially to do with his iman and his deen, and he comes and puts that forward and he comes to know about it, then they will sincerely make dua, it will bother them. Inshallah, you will come out of this abyss. Do not let despondency come close to you. The remorse which you are experiencing over this condition and the qualities of submission and annihilation that are forming in you are far beyond the pride that one experiences over all those acts of worship and piety. A person makes so much of ibadah that you feel nice. But this remorseful condition of yours and the sadness that you are experiencing and this concern and worry, you see, this is far better than that lot of ibadah you're making and the feeling you get after that. Express yourself as being extremely filthy, unworthy, wicked and ill-mannered in the court of Allah Ta'ala and continue requesting Him for Islam and Reformation. The clear manner in which you describe your condition has made me very happy. And this is very important. Person takes bayah to a sheikh, but never he explains to the sheikh his weaknesses. Remember, the sheikh doesn't have ilm ghaib. He can't just tell you these are things wrong with you. And these are your weaknesses. It happens sometime in a talk, the sheikh mentions something, and that murid thinks, Hazrat came to know about me. Allah Ta'ala makes it such, that Allah Ta'ala puts on the tongue of the sheikh something that will be beneficial to the people. And That is why before person gives a bayan, cries to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, give me, make me say such thing that will be beneficial for me and for the people. That is the maqsad, not just to have flowery speeches and it's all over. So as I say, you must regard yourself, or the fact that you must write to your sheikh, and you go to tell him your weakness. You go to any doctor, you've got some sickness. Now you don't go sit on that doctor's bed there, and tell him, doc, let's see how good you are, you tell me what's wrong with me now. He'll send you flying from there because you've got other patients to see. Now you've got to be honest. If you've got a stomach pain, you've got to tell him, my stomach is paining. You won't just say, I get a few pains here, you know, just maybe my head and my feet. You've got to be honest to him. And then whatever prescription he gives, then we accept it. He tell you, take these tablets and take it 3 times a day, and antibiotic, and before meals and after meals, whatever it is. We listen very, very properly. And we tell the others, no, my doctor told me this. The exact thing here for spiritual sicknesses, when you see the spiritual doctor, then he will tell you, do this, do this. Now you don't start questioning him. Sometimes a very slight, very small prescription is given. And outwardly you might think, now he's not giving me much. You want a lot of wazifas to read. You know, you want barakat for your business. He told you, just read Salatul Hajat, 2 rakat namaz, and ask Allah Ta'ala. And yeah, you thinking, no man, you want some special, powerful wazifa, that my eye from the asman, my rosy will just be flying down. No. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when we went for Hajj, everybody was worried. So we went to him for duas. All he said, Inshallah ho jayega. That's all. Inshallah everything will come right. Now, I was expecting he'll raise his hand and make a long dua and we'll all say Ameen. But exactly like that, he said, Inshallah ho jayega. Everything went so smoothly. Everything went perfect. We couldn't believe Tawaf Ziyarat in the back of our minds we had. It's going to be so full, and how are we going to enter? We're going to see. When we went there, we couldn't believe it. People asked, this one, they talk about Tawaf Ziyarat, hardly anybody. Now they make dua, Allah makes it easy. So we don't question the prescription they give. Accept it and make amal on it. So as I said, and we have to be honest. Many people take bayat to a sheikh. All they want to do is, after the sheikh's bayan, Hazrat, mashallah, very good bayan. So Hazrat think, mashallah, this murid is so good. So in such a nice murid, always praising me. No. We have to be honest. I've got this weakness. I've got this. Why? Who is your maqsood? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh is just guiding you. You want to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to do everything right. You've got examinations. You've got examination paper to answer. You want full marks. You don't want any things to go wrong. So that Shaykh is your tutor. He's giving you all this tuition, and he's showing you, do this, don't do this. This is a difficult problem. This is how you must solve it. Now, if you're not going to listen to him, then obviously you're not going to get your full marks. So, as it says, I make an earnest dua for you. The condition which you are experiencing is nothing. Far worse and much filthier conditions are experienced by others. However, one passes life through striving, courage, and dua. These three things. A person has to make mujahada. We can't expect to just become overnight a buzruk without making any mujahada on our nafs. And courage, himmat. We have to have that courage that, Ya Allah, I am now going to abstain from that guna. Come what may. Even if I lose my life in abstaining from that sin, I'll lose my life. But I won't displease my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got to have that courage. And a lot of dua. Allah answers our duas. That is what Allah wants us to talk and ask Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I've got this weakness. Ya Allah, I'm kamzor. Ya Allah, you are most powerful. Ya Allah, you assist me. So these three things, mujahada will make on our nafs. We'll fight our nafs. Nafs will pull us towards evil. Then we are going to go against the nafs. And we're going to have himmat and courage. So like this, many, many people had written over the years, and some of the letters which they found beneficial, they had compiled in this book. Just a few more, inshallah. Somebody wrote there, I do not go personally to a shoemaker to repair my shoes. Instead, I send a child so that people may not say that I'm insisting on wearing my old shoes and not purchasing a new pair. Now, the person is saying, he needs to repair his shoes, but he sends some child, he sends some other person. Himself, he's not going, because he don't want people to see him there, and people will see, why doesn't he buy a new pair of shoes? Why is he mending his old shoes? So, somebody writes, like, what answer are we going to give now? We might say, yeah, buy a new pair of shoes and finish. Hazrat writes, you should do this yourself. Go yourself to the person who's mending the shoes. Don't ever delegate this task to someone else. Wear simple clothes and shoes. In fact, you should occasionally go to purchase flour and vegetables for the house and let people see you doing this also. Why? This takes out the pride from the person. If a person is a big sheikh, a big alim, he's not going to go and send all somebody else to do it. Yes, sometimes a person makes khidmat or something else. But the person goes himself, now he has to pick the vegetables and pick the fruit and everybody watching him. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to go shopping himself. Some people will see him, one person saw Hazrat going in the trolley. Whatever he put in his trolley, then that person also put the same item in his trolley. He said, this is barakat. But he was so surprised, Mawlana is in the supermarket. Yes, he's a human being. He has to go. Sometimes it's difficult for us. If you just come out, hey, Mawlana, what are you doing here? We're not going to haram place. Ambiyani Musaratu Salam, people you see. Oh, see, why, how come this man is walking in the bazaar? How come he's eating and drinking? He's a human being. He's also got wife and children. He can't be sitting one place and food just comes out from the wall or something like that. He has to go out, he's a human being. Of course, he has to make ihtiyat in many places. Then somebody wrote, when any elder gives me some good advice, then instead of accepting his advice, I reply with harsh words to him and think to myself, that who's here to come and advise me? This happens to many of us. Right, this is a sign of pride. This is a sign of pride. The essence of pride is to reject the truth and to consider others as insignificant. When anyone reprimands you, listen to him silently. Think to yourself, whatever wrong he is saying to me, I am far worse than that. He reprimanded, he said, you are like this, you are like that. Then you must think you are even more worse than that. If my major wrongs were to be exposed, then people would stone me, in fact. This man, lucky, he is taking out a few faults of me. If my major faults had to be exposed, then people will chase me away, they'll stone me. All thanks to Allah that he has concealed my faults. Somebody wrote, if I learn that a certain person does not consider me to be pious and good, I develop an extreme dislike for him in my heart. And I also start backbiting and talking ill of him. The person wrote, if I know that a certain person doesn't consider me to be pious and good, so I begin to dislike him. And I start making his ghibat. The Hazrat wrote, you should think about your own actions, that they are such that if people were to learn of them, they will not even sit near you. It is solely Allah's quality of concealing ills that He concealed your shortcomings. If not, let alone one person, all the people would have spat on you. You should talk good of those who talk evil about you and be the first to greet them. Now, this is Islah. This is a pain on your heart. You know that man talks bad about you. Now you have to go force yourself and you have to smile at him and be good with him. Amongst the letters, a prominent alim of South Africa and Hazrat Senior Khalifa Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahab, now Rahmatullah Ali, writes a letter to Hazrat. This is Mawlana's letter to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Some may have read this letter, some may have read this kitab, but I'm sure most of you haven't heard this. He writes a letter to Hazrat experiencing his sadness and sorrow for not being able to accompany Hazrat on his journey to Turkey because he had to undergo a heart operation. Hazrat consoles him, encourages him, and conveys glad tidings to him. Our Mawlana wrote there, after making salam and praising Hazrat, he said, I hope that you are well. By the grace and kindness of Allah Ta'ala and the du'as of Hazrat, my health is improving. No matter how much I thank Allah Ta'ala, it is less in the sense that Allah Ta'ala enabled me to pass through all the stages of my operation with great ease. In the course of my heart operation, I did not experience any anxiety, discomfort or pain in my heart. Instead, through the du'as and teachings of Hazrat, I experienced a sort of comfort and tranquility. My tongue continued in the dhikr of Allah, even when I was in hospital. Please make du'a that Allah Ta'ala blesses me with the ability to serve Islam with absolute sincerity and good health, and that Allah Ta'ala also honors me with acceptance. Our Hazrat Harif Billah Zakim Sahib Rahmatullah writes, he answers, my beloved and honorable Mawlana Yunus Patel, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh. My heart trembled at your absence in Istanbul. However, I subjugated myself to Rida Bil Qada. In other words, Hazrat's desire was that Mawlana must be with. And because of the operation, Hazrat Mawlana couldn't go there. So Hazrat could feel his absence. I said, I was missing you. But then, I said, Ya Allah, this is your decision. I have to be happy and accept your decision. And became content. If Allah Ta'ala wills, due to your excuse, you will receive the blessings of this journey while you are in your very own country. Then, Hazrat wrote, Hazrat, may Allah Ta'ala keep your shadow over us for a long time with good health and well-being. What can I say about what you did? You give the power of sight to blind people like me. You place the deviated souls on the path of guidance. You bestowed a dry person with the delicious taste of recognition of Allah Ta'ala. You removed the veils of heedlessness and made us stand in the bright rays of dhikr. You showed us the ways of removing many evils which could not have been removed except through severe hardship and endeavors. How can I thank you for all your favors? This is our Maulana Yunusab Rahmatullah writing to Hazrat Arif Billah Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Rahmatullah replied, may Allah Ta'ala show his kindness to me through the blessings of your good thoughts about me. And Maulana had written, Hazrat, your spiritual admonitions, your illuminated appearance, your wonderful character, your tone that is drowned in pain and anguish for Allah Ta'ala, and your heart which is sparkling with illumination and recognition causes the soul to tremble and the heart to burn. You have captivated your own people and outsiders as well. Hazrat, when I ponder over your qualities and I look at myself in that mirror, now Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah was writing, he says, when I look at myself in the mirror, I find myself to be the lowest, the most ignoble, the meanest, the most flagrant sinner from amongst the creation of Allah Ta'ala. I do not even find 1% of those qualities which an Ahl Dil, an Arif Billah, a follower of the Sunnah and a Khalifa ought to possess. Hazrat replied, this perception and realization is from among the lofty conditions of a person. Shabash, congratulations. Then Hazrat wrote, Hazrat Muna wrote, Hazrat, I hope that you will forgive my audacity. But what can I say? I'm writing with tearing eyes and a burning heart. And he wrote a whole lot of couplets of Arif Billah of Hazrat Kimsab. For example, the first one, I will ask the one drenched in the love of Allah Ta'ala, when will you pour the love of Allah Ta'ala into this thirsty person? So Hazrat wrote, although this poem is written by me, Hazrat Arif Billah wrote, although this poem is written by me, quite a few couplets, he said, it has become far more enjoyable after reading it by your pen. He said, Hazrat, this group of Salikin that will be reaching you tomorrow and which will be accompanying you on your trip to Turkey and England is most fortunate. Although I have convinced my heart that in the path of love, a person has to experience sorrow and separation. Hazrat Maulana wanted to be with his Sheikh. And this is the first time Hazrat Kim Saab Rahmatullah was going to Turkey and where Mullah Rumi Rahman's qabr is. So he said, I have convinced my heart that in the path of love, a person has to experience sorrow and separation and that a Salik has to be pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala under all conditions. My heart still feels the type of shortcoming that is the consequence and punishment for my sins that I have been deprived of your blessed companionship. Hazrat Arif Billah writes, this perception is a sign of being among the accepted servants of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala accept your remorse. Mullah then wrote, my soul reprimands me by saying that I am not true in my love for my Shaykh, that I am immature in fulfilling his rights, and that I am most certainly I have committed an act of disrespect towards him. If this was not the case, why have I been deprived from accompanying him on this trip, despite making full preparations for it? Hazrat Arif Billah Rahman writes, every decree of Allah Ta'ala is 100% to the advantage of a believer. Now this is something which is a solution to all of our problems. Whenever we feel sometimes things are not working out for me. Now this is, Maulana Rahmatullah Ali had this love for his Shaykh and he wanted to be there on the safar. And not being able to join his company, he regarded this to be a shortcoming in his life that because of my own sins, that's why I'm deprived of the company of my Shaykh. But look at the jawab Hazrat Arif Billah writes. He says, every decree, whatever Allah decides, is 100% to the advantage of a believer. Now this thing we can't understand. Sometimes it's a bimari, a sickness. But it's for the benefit of that believer. There might be outward pain, loss, sorrow, grief. But for the believer, 100% there's going to be some advantage. Natural sorrow is among human being constraints, and this sorrow is the cause of the perfection in one's nisbat, connection with Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana then wrote, Hazrat, kindly forgive me for the sake of Allah, and do not deprive this impure and unworthy murid of your special attention. I request your dua that Allah Ta'ala save me from love for name and fame, love for wealth, love for this world, heedlessness of the hereafter and all other evils, and that He makes me His devoted servant. May Allah Ta'ala bestow me with good health quickly, so that I may present myself to you and cleanse and shine and purify my heart. I am extremely desirous of meeting you. Kindly convey my salam to Janab Ishrat Jamil Mirsab, you know, we all know Mirsab, and all the others who will be accompanying you. Provided it is easy for you to convey this salam, this is also a very important adab. We just say, okay, you're going to give them my salam. Always say, give them my salam if it is easy for you. Yunus Patel, may Allah Ta'ala forgive him. It was the 3rd of Muharram, 1418, Islamic year. Hazrat Arif Bilal answers, Mawlana, I make dua with my heart and soul every day for you. May Allah Ta'ala accept our duas by virtue of His kindness. On reading this letter, it was read before my special associates, namely Mawlana Abdul Hamid and others. They were most pleased and happy. I am looking forward to meeting you. What happened after all this? One more letter, inshallah. Mawlana writes to Hazrat Wala, he says, Hazrat, when I completed writing this letter, I placed it in the envelope, and in my anxiety and sorrow, I was overcome by sleep. I saw a dream that Hazrat is residing at some place in England. When I reached there, now this is a dream, he said, I met Janab Mir Sahib at the door, who said to me, hurry, Hazrat is waiting for you. I hastened towards Hazrat. Hazrat smiled at me, extended both his hands towards me and embraced me. I then requested that you transfer something from your blessed heart to me. Hazrat replied, that is exactly what I am doing. Hazrat then asked me to cause my heart to touch Hazrat's heart. I directed my chest and aligned my heart with Hazrat's heart. Our hearts were so close that I could perceive your heartbeats on my heartbeats. The sound of Allah, Allah was emanating from your heart. Hazrat then started saying Allah, Allah verbally as well. In a short while, my heart and tongue also started saying Allah, Allah. And then I thought to myself that Hazrat is probably tired now. I therefore tried to come out of your embrace. However, Hazrat embraced me with more force and my eyes opened. When I woke up, my heart was beating rapidly, and I heard the sound Allah, Allah emanating from my heart for a few moments. I then perceived some strength in my body and was immediately overcome by joy, tranquility and delight. I hope that you will interpret this dream for me. Hazrat Arif Billah Rahman writes, my respected Janab, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahab, may Allah Ta'ala increase your loftiness and your great righteousness. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that you are well. I read your beloved letter and continued experiencing ecstasy as I was reading it. The interpretation of this dream is that it refers to Nisbat Ittihadiyya, unanimity in our affiliation with Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala wills, the servants of Allah Ta'ala shall receive the burning flame of love for Allah Ta'ala through you. Mubarak Baad. Barakallahu feek walaka wa alayka wa li ahlik wa lana kadhalik. Muhammad Akhtar. That time Hazrat was in Turkey. Now this is the condition, this was the ta'alluq he had with his sheikh, and then we saw the du'as of the sheikh, and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us through that. But the person has to be genuine, he has to be sincere. He must desire to really please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be many, many impediments. There will be a lot of obstacles in our lives. But Allah ta'ala will help you to jump over those hurdles. When Allah helps you, then what are you worried about? And whatever the condition, then you'll be able to manage those conditions. Because now your focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human being, we have some traits in us, we have some qualities of the nature. We become worried, we become angry at times, we become sad. As human being, we're not angels. But we will be able to manipulate and control those conditions and handle those conditions. We just have one more, there's so many I thought we'll discuss. Just one more, inshallah. Person writes, I have the illness of getting angry. This causes me to speak in harsh terms to my parents. Why am I mentioning this? This is a common problem people write. Hazrat Arif Billah Rahmatullah writes, when you become angry, think to yourself that Allah Ta'ala ordered in the Quran that one should not even say uff to his parents. And that the hadith states That causing displeasure to one's father entails causing displeasure to Allah Ta'ala. Father, it means father and mother. And pleasing one's parents entails pleasing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The person then writes, in this anger of mine, I say disrespectful things to them. This causes me regret as well. I am in the habit of fighting over trivial matters. Hazrat replied, if you say anything disrespectful to them, hold their feet and ask for forgiveness. If after that, you show any disrespect to them, take the sandals or shoes and place the clean side on your head for 5 minutes. May Allah Ta'ala give you salvation from this dangerous illness. You're not only becoming angry, but angry with his parents. So as I see, you want to sort this anger out, because anger comes from pride also. So take the shoes and put the clean side of the shoes on your head. He writes, I want to become dutiful and obedient to my parents and to overlook those issues which are not in agreement with my temperament. So Hazrat writes, ponder over this. It is stated in the hadith that the person who vexes his parents, annoys his parents, will not experience death until he is punished in this world. In fact, how you deal with your parents in this world, and you annoy them, you cause them disrespect and hurt, then your children will do the exact same thing before you leave this world. So Allah gives you instant punishment in this world before you leave, when you are disobedient to your parents. The person then wrote, I have made much endeavor in this regard, but have remained unsuccessful. Hazrat writes, this is not an endeavor. It is merely a wish. An endeavor is that which is successful. If not, it's merely a desire. Take courage and control yourself when you become angry. Move away from there. Make wudu. Read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. And say to yourself, you are most wicked for becoming angry at your parents. Give 25 rupees in charity to a madrasa for each time you are disrespectful towards them. You won't say 25 rupees. Rather say 25. Jeez. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of connecting to Allah Ta'ala. These are all spiritual maladies which we go through every day. Hasad sometimes, jealousy. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's pride. Sometimes we are suffering a bimari and we do not know this is the illness we've got. And then the sheikh, after questioning us here, there, or seeing our actions, whatever, he detects this. Like when you go to the doctor, checks our pulse, checks our readings, blood tests, cholesterol. Sometimes he sends you for an x-ray and after that he looks, say, this is the report and you have got this disease, this is the illness. And you have to undergo some surgery, some operation, or you take this medication. Now, who knew? We didn't know. Allah save us, but we didn't know we had that sickness. So therefore, we are carrying these spiritual sicknesses. And once we connect to a person who we have munasabat with, please, I'm mentioning this not for myself, go to other mashayikh. They are doing great work. This I'm just mentioning because it comes in this kitab. And it's important for us in this zamana to connect to some sheikh so that we may be guided. We are busy whole day in our shops and our factories and our workplaces, where we have the time. We come in the evening, we may just make our salat, we are busy with our families. Now in our business, we are cheating people. Sometimes we are dealing in fraud. Sometimes we are becoming angry with our workers. We are becoming abusive. Greed of the dunya is coming into our heart. Love of dunya coming into our heart. Then what about the lustful glances we are casting whole day and night? All these things makes his heart corroded. Therefore we make dhikrullah. We make dhikrullah to wash away. But with dhikrullah you have to have that to sit in the sohbat of a sheikh so that all the time when this is mentioned, slowly it has an effect in our heart. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Make special dua that tonight everything goes well, inshallah. Hazrat Rahmatullah shall ask people for dua, especially on this 27th night, for forgiveness and all. Of course, Laylatul Qadr night, only Allah knows best. But because the majma normally is so full in the masajid, so we must try and make some ikram. We don't have to come from one house, there's four of us, we come with four cars. And it's so difficult for parking, many people are coming. So we try and come in lesser cars, it makes it easy for us to park our vehicles, and we're not obstructing any person. Otherwise, throughout the program, we'll be giving number plates, we have to keep on announcing, it's become very, very annoying. May Allah give us tawfiq.